Today on Brave, a brand new lesson from Jeff Swarzentraub.
Until Christ comes, endure difficulties patiently. Patient means long suffering. Patience means you are going to have difficulties. You are going to have trials. You are going to have challenges. Endure them. The only way you're going to be able to endure in this life is if Jesus is a priority.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. The Bible promises that Jesus Christ will return and that His second coming is near. But as Christians living in the modern age, what are we meant to do with this promise? How should we be living our day-to-day lives, anticipating His return without knowing the day or the hour? That's the question Pastor Jeff unpacks today on Brave as he continues his study in the book of James. We're getting a biblical checklist for Christ's coming as we dig deeper into the series, Walk Your Talk. And don't forget, you can always find these daily lessons at our website and listen when it's convenient for you at bravemedia.online. But now, here's Pastor Jeff with the start of a lesson titled, Checklist for Christ's Coming.
The first advent of Jesus Christ is the greatest season that ever took place on this planet. The triune God, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that makes up the Trinity had a plan in mind. And the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son, was dispatched from heaven, was born of a virgin, became a man, and fully as God-man, fulfilled the law, died on a cross, satisfied the wrath of God for all of our sins, died, was buried, rose from the grave, and when he did, through repentance and faith, offered life to anyone who would come to him. And anyone who came to him, he would not turn away. We live in between his first advent and his second advent. Advent means coming. His second advent is going to come. The Bible tells us it's going to happen soon. The Bible tells us that his coming is near. We don't know exactly when that's going to be, but until he gets here, we're living in that interim space that Christ has come, that Christ is coming back, but here we are now. And we've been in this series called Walk Your Talk. As we've been studying the book of James, the half-brother of Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has told us that as believers in Christ, there are ways that we're to walk out the faith that we say that we have. These are all the things that we're called to do. And yet we need to do them in light of the fact that Christ is coming again. He is coming again. It should be our motivation for how we should live. And usually when we talk about Christ's second coming, it's usually extremes that we talk about. There's a group of people that say, yeah, I don't care about any of that stuff because everybody talks about he's always going to come and he never comes and I'm not interested. I'm here to tell you, he's coming and you should live your entire life in light of the fact that he's coming. And then there's another extreme, which is he coming any minute. Don't get married, don't have kids, don't do it. He's coming. And they kind of go out to the mountain on robes. It's fanatical. That's not what he tells us to do in the scriptures. There's ways that God wants us to live until he gets here that is so important. And really what is happening in the book of James in this section we're going to look at this morning is him telling us what a checklist for Christ's coming looks like. Like in light of his second coming, how should we be living now? And I want to highlight five truths that God tells us this morning in case you want to know how should I be living until Jesus gets here. And to do that this morning, we're going to be in James chapter 5, starting in verse 7 and going through verse 12. So I'd love to read those verses to you this morning, and then let's unpack these verses together. He says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until he gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves might not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. And here in these short verses, we really get a picture of a checklist for Christ's coming. A checklist for Christ's coming. What should I be doing? Blessed is the one whose Lord finds him doing what he or she should be doing when he arrives. And really, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, James is showing us, here's five truths that you need to check the box on. Here's how you should be living until Jesus Christ comes. And if you get these right, it's really going to culminate everything that we've been talking about in this book. And the first is this: until Christ comes, endure difficulties patiently. Until Christ comes, endure difficulties patiently. Notice what he says. Therefore, be patient. There's that word, patient. It doesn't just mean when you're waiting in line or waiting in traffic. Patient means long-suffering. Patience means you are going to have difficulties. You are going to have trials. You are going to have challenges. Endure them. And by the way, enduring them means it's going to take a little time to get through them. However long your trial is or temptation you're going through, it's probably going to take a little longer to get through it than what you thought it was going to be. And isn't it interesting that when we go through trials and temptations, here's how we pray: get me out of this. Get me out of this and get me out of it now. But if we understand the sovereignty of God, he's the one who's authoring it. He's the one who's bringing it in. He's the one who's doing something in you, because what he's building in you isn't quite done yet. So be patient. Be patient. Endure difficulties patiently. Until when? The coming of the Lord. Well, when do I get to stop being patient? When you meet Jesus face to face. Stop. It'll all be good, right? Until that time, endure patiently. And he uses the example of a farmer. He says, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. I grew up in the Midwest. My grandfather was a farmer. My dad grew up farming. I'm one generation away from being a farmer. I know a ton of farmers. Farmers are some of the greatest people on the planet. They're some of the hardest working people you'll ever meet. They are. And do you know why? You can't cram for a crop. You can't wake up in August and September and be like, oh, we got to get this thing done. Let's throw some seed. You have to start in the spring. You have to till the soil. You got to do it daily. And you have to get up and you got to plant the seeds and you got to water the seeds and you've got to do all that stuff. You've got to let it sit just right. You got to pull weeds. And even if you do everything just right, it's still not dependent upon you. It's dependent upon the soil that you didn't produce. And it's dependent upon the rain that you're not sovereign over. It's dependent upon the Lord doing it all. And so he's using the example of a diligent farmer that's willing to do all the right things, but is still dependent upon the Lord to bring the harvest. And he brings the early rains, the rains in the spring, right when the seed gets put in the ground. And then he brings the late rains when it's really needed, when it's growing up. And the farmer is still dependent upon God, because even if the farmer does everything right, it doesn't guarantee a great crop. And even if you do everything just right, without God's sovereign direction in your life, you won't become what he wants you to become. So he says, endure patiently. Remain under the trial patiently. Let me just tell you this. If you're a believer, difficulties are part of your life on this side of heaven. Challenges are part of your life on this side of heaven. Ambiguities are part of your life on this side of heaven. Uncertainties are part of your life on this side of heaven. And we could go on and on and on and on. If somebody has told you, oh, your life's so bad, trust Jesus and everything will be perfect, they lied to you. That is not the gospel. The gospel is that you're dead in your sin and you need to repent and believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's the gospel. And if you're in Christ, here's the promise. In this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Right? Troubles and tribulations are just part of your life as a believer. And so what God wants you to do until he gets here is endure them patiently. Endure them patiently. Just walk through it. Just because you think you're done with the trial, just because you think that temptation's over, doesn't mean it's over, right? I mean, just think about some of the things, the challenges and the difficulties of trials. The things that you've gone through with trials you would have never picked for yourself. The reason you get the trials that you get is that's part of God's curriculum for your life. The reason you're tempted by the things that you're tempted are, those are temptations for your life. And God is sovereign over those, and God can use you in those, and God can give you victory in those, but he takes you through those to build in you what you need to be. Or what about ambiguity? I don't see how this is going to work out. You're never going to see how it's all going to work out. We walk by faith and not by sight. Some people are like, I don't see how this is gonna happen. How can you possibly see what's gonna happen? You're not God. Only God sees what's gonna happen. Even when you think you know what's gonna happen, you don't know what's gonna happen. Only God knows the future. Or uncertainty. I'm just uncertain this is gonna happen. There's no guarantee. That's right. We walk by faith and not by sight. Or how about anxiety? How about anxiety? Anxiety happens because we believe that we're sovereign and we can work out all our problems. And you can't. And when you can't, but you think you can, then you're anxious. It seems to be working for everybody else. No, you're worrying about your life because you think you're in charge when you're not even in charge. So just give up, let God run your life. No need to live with anxiety, right? Or how about wickedness? Wickedness. The closer you walk with the Lord, the more wicked you'll realize that this world is. And that it's gonna go from bad to worse. And there's blips in the radar. There's God's goodness and his mercy when people repent and when groups of people repent and God relents and he's merciful and he's compassionate. And we read that in the text today. But in general, there's a wickedness that happens in our world. And if we're focused on challenges, difficulties, ambiguity, uncertainty, wickedness, and all this, and we're not realizing that God's sovereign behind all of it, we're gonna be the ones that think we can change it all. I got news for you. You can't. Only God can. And he's using all these things in your life because when he saves you, you belong to him for eternity, but he is preparing you for when you meet him face to face. And we're thanking him for what he's bringing in our life, like the farmer thanks him for the rain. And we're thanking him for what he's bringing later in our life, just like the farmer thanks him for the rain. But there are things we wouldn't have asked for. We would never ask God for the trials we go through. And here's what we falsely think as a young believer. Once we make it through a trial, we did it. I don't ever need to go through another one of these. Wherever you are on your journey, there'll be something even more difficult to step into with Christ. And every time you do, you will feel more and more alone where all you have is the Lord. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So as you go through trials, as you go through temptations, as you go through struggles, challenges, difficulties, ambiguities, uncertainties, and all those things are a part of your life as a Christian, just go through them, endure. Do you know why? Because every single Christian you will meet from every tribe, tongue, and nation that has named the Lord Jesus Christ has a story just like that. Can I tell you who you won't meet in heaven? You won't meet anybody in heaven that tells you this. I didn't really have any problems on earth. I loved it. I was so blessed. As a matter of fact, now that I'm in heaven, I kind of miss it. It was so blessed. I mean, you won't meet those people in heaven. They're not there. The people that you will meet in heaven have a testimony of challenge, difficulty, uncertainty, ambiguity. We're all in this together, right? And we're going to endure difficulties patiently. It kind of reminds me of the Marine commercial where you see all the storm coming in and everybody's running away from the storm. And then there's the few, the proud. And what are they doing? They're going into the storm. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're running into the storm. We're making disciples in the storm. We're going into the world that's departed from God and saying, you need to repent and believe this gospel. There's good news coming your way if you'll turn to the living Savior. And why does God take us through all this? Because he's growing our character. When a Christian gets squeezed, when they're going through a trial, you really see what's on the inside. You really see what they're made of. And what God's trying to produce in your life is goodness and righteousness and truth. And when you see a believer go through a trial, they endure it a little bit differently than a non-believer does. They don't like the trial, but they can thank God in the trial. And you see just a faithfulness and endurance that is not only strong for them, but it builds your faith. And that's what he tells you to do. So until Christ gets back, checklist number one Endure difficulties patiently. Number two is this: until Christ comes, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. How am I going to endure these trials patiently? How am I going to make it through? How am I going to remain on? You're going to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, Ephesians tells us. Notice what he says in verse 8. You too, just like the farmer was patient, you too be patient. Strengthen your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord is near. The coming of the Lord is near. He's coming soon. The coming of the Lord is near. The more I look at the world, the more I'm convinced he's coming soon. But even if he doesn't come in my lifetime, even if he doesn't come in my children's lifetime, what difference does it make? Well, I should be living the way he wants me to live so that when I meet him face to face, I can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been doing the things I've asked you to do. You've been living the way I've asked you to live. You've been enduring the trials I've sent your way. You've been overcoming the temptations. You've been good with your tongue. You've been good with wisdom. You're growing. You're not perfect, but I see you making steps of faith to become more and more like me. You too be strong in the Lord. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Well, what's that mean? It means make Jesus Christ a priority in your life. The only way you're going to be able to endure in this life is if Jesus is a priority. Now, notice what I didn't say. Get up tomorrow at 5 a.m. and have a Bible study. Some of you will be like, there ain't no way I'm getting up at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning and having a Bible. You don't have to get up at 5 a.m. Make Jesus a priority in your day. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him in prayer. Seek him in his word. Worship him. Sing to him. You say, I'm not really good at all that stuff. Be part of a life-giving church like this one that preaches the word, that worships the Lord, where you can live obedient to the Lord, where you can sharpen one another and challenge one another, become brave warriors, that sends people on mission to do prayer, care, and share throughout the week, where you're on mission for the Lord, living out among the lost what God requires of you. That's just a great place to start, but make Jesus the priority. Because when you're going through difficulty, it's too late to start strengthening yourself in the Lord. When trial or tragedy hits, it's too late to say, I should probably start praying right now. No, you should have been doing that all along so that you were ready to endure the trial that was coming, the difficulty that was there, the ambiguity that you didn't expect. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Do whatever it takes to do to strengthen yourself in the Lord. And I want to give you permission to do that with the personality that the Lord gave you. For some of you that are super disciplined, you like to get up at the exact same time and do the exact same thing. Set a place. Say it's in this chair at this time. Here's what I'm going to read. It's systematic. Do that. Others of you, a little more artistic, like I don't like to do anything on time. I just like to still make God a priority. Maybe you like to walk around. Maybe you like to sing. Maybe you like to hear the word spoken over. However you're going to grow in the Lord. Let the Lord be the priority of your life. Strengthen yourself in him. Tell him what you need from him. Tell him, I'm not so great at this. Tell him, I need you to bring other people around me that can help me grow in this. Lord, I need you. I want to be strong in you. And then make decisions to let the Lord be the Lord of your life. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Same way you received Christ, grow in Christ. Same way you repented and trusted in Christ, grow in Christ. No matter where you are in Christ, there's more room to go. There's more depths to plumb. There's more strength that you can have. Until Christ comes, if you're going to endure difficulties patiently, you're also going to need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. I'm just telling you, the longer I walk with the Lord, the less impressed I am with non-church folk that call themselves Christian. The less impressed I am with those who are like, I kind of do church on my own. The less impressed I am with people who think they can do it without the body of Christ. I'm not that impressed because I've never met anybody that strong that does it that way. I mean, there's something about saying, I'm going to be part of a life-giving community called a church because Jesus Christ established the church, and I want to be a part where the word is heralded, and I'm going to be a part of a community where God is worshiped, and I want to be a part of a community where God is prayed to and sought after. I want to be a part of a community that sets us on mission, and I want to be part of that community that challenges and admonishes me and loves me and encourages me. I want that because I find people that prioritize that grow more mature in the Lord than people that stay outside of that and think they're better than that. until Christ comes. Endure difficulties patiently. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Do this, number three. Refrain from complaining. Do we need to talk about it? Until Christ comes, refrain from complaining. Here's what he says, do not complain. Now, in the original language that the Bible was written in, which was Greek, you know what that means? Do not complain. That's what it means. Do not complain, brethren. Do not complain, brothers. Don't complain, sisters, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Listen, when difficulties and challenges come, when you're going through something that not everybody else has to go through and nobody else seems to understand the challenge or severity of the trial or temptation that you're under, and you're trying to strengthen yourself in the Lord and nobody else understands it, guess what you begin to do? Complain, talk, whine, criticize, blame. That's what tends to happen in our flesh. Refrain from complaining. When you start complaining about people in leadership and you start complaining and whining about this and you're slandering and you're gossiping and you're maligning one another, you're saying, God, what you're doing in this world is wrong. And I know what you're saying. I don't slander. I don't gossip. I don't do any of that stuff. I mean, I'm a very safe person. A lot of people feel comfortable coming to me and telling me those things. Well, that's because you're a gossip and a slanderer too, because you don't have ears for that, because God's the one that does what he does. Well, my pastor, I mean, he's this, he's that. Your pastor knows that he's not perfect. Your pastor knows that he doesn't make perfect decisions. Your pastor knows that he doesn't get it right every time. Your pastor knows that only Jesus does. You don't need to complain about him. It doesn't help him. You don't need to complain about other people in the church. The Bible says judgment begins at the household of God. How is it we can take the gospel out if we're always judging each other in the church? If we're always complaining about other people? When you're going through things, well, I can't believe they drive that, and I can't believe she dresses like that, and I can't believe they do that, I can't believe. That's judging. Zip the lip. That's what he's saying. When you're going through your stuff, just shh, quit talking about it. Yes, it's okay to have a couple good friends and you can share and vent with them, and that's okay. God gives us the body of Christ to exhort one another. Hey, are you hearing anything in me that needs, that's good. But go to Jesus first. Pour out your heart to him. Share with him. Let him know how you feel. Lord, I'm rejoicing in you in the middle of this, but boy, I'm crying my eyes out because this is hard and I don't get it. And you must have some good. Is there something you want to reveal to me? Go to God. But don't gossip and malign other people.
You're listening to Brave with our Bible teacher, Jeff Swarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. We're currently in a study in the book of James called Walk Your Talk. And today's program is the start of a three-part study titled Checklist for Christ's Coming. We'll continue tomorrow, so make sure to listen then. In the meantime, let me remind you, you can always find these lessons and listen again or share them with friends at our website, bravemedia.online. As we continue doing our best to share the life-changing truth of God's Word with new listeners every week, we invite you to join us in our mission. Here at Brave, we're dedicated to saving, maturing, and multiplying brave disciples of Jesus Christ. And you can be part of this growing movement by supporting Brave with a donation of any amount. We're so thankful for listeners like you who choose to be part of this growing radio ministry. It's your generosity that helps us take the gospel to new communities across the nation. Join us by giving a donation today. Head to bravemedia.online and click the Donate tab, or call us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can send a check in the mail. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And as we close, we invite you to join us for weekend worship services here at Brave Church. If you're in the Denver metro area, meet us in person at any of our three campuses in Englewood, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. No matter where you're listening from, you can always join us through our weekend live stream. Head to our website, bravemedia.online. Scroll to the bottom and click the Brave Church link for details and directions. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Join us tomorrow for part two of this message about the second advent of Jesus. We're building our checklist for Christ's coming as we dig deeper in the book of James. That's next time, here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.